I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that we really like to keep it real here on this show, and we're honest about hurts and heartbreaks, and we invite God to meet us in those places. You know, when I read scripture like He restores my soul, or when Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly, I believe those words to be true. But I've learned, you know, that the road to wholeness and restoration is just not ever a straight one. It's filled with twists and turns and trials and triumphs. And it invites us to a place of what my guest today calls holy vulnerability. I love that. Kelly Fabian joins me today to talk about her book, Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. And Kelly says that Jesus didn't come for the spiritually elite. Instead, He took great care to seek out the broken in body and mind. So it is my prayer that by the time this hour is over today, you have a really deep sense of Jesus' compassion, of His love, a strong sense that He is so for you and He's with you on this journey. I think you're going to be really encouraged after this hour is over. We got four copies of Kelly's book. Again, the title, Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And you know, I always love when you engage with me. It's kind of one of my love languages when you text me. So if you're willing, and we can keep all of the texts anonymous, is there a place in your life, or I should say, what is the place in your life that feels most broken, the place where you really, maybe God has seemed silent or absent, you've not really made much progress? What's that place for you? You know, sometimes for me, it's the fear thing. Most times it's the health thing for me. But what about you? Why don't you text me? I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Kelly. We would love to know if the Lord has used Faith Radio in your life and in your journey. Would love to know your story, and you can tell us about it on our website, myfaithradio.com. Right on the homepage, there's just a little spot there for you to share a bit of your testimony. We may even call you and interview you and get your a little more backstory on it. We would love to hear. We've got a share coming up. We're going to share some of those stories as well, if that's okay with you. Looking forward to that. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kelly Fabian serves as pastor of biblical oversight and support at Willow Creek Community Church. She's also the founding member of The Practice, an alternative practice-based worship service at Willow Creek. She's the author of Sacred Questions, A Transformative Journey Through the Bible, as well as Holy Vulnerability, which we're talking about today. She regularly leads spiritual discipline workshops and practices, and she lives in Illinois with her family. Kelly, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to meet you, too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the conversation. We love to start every day, Kelly, talking scripture. And I'd just love to know, just out of your time with God recently, what's He been impressing upon your heart?
I love that question. I've been reading Ephesians lately, trying to get that to soak into my heart and soul. And the thing I've noticed that God has really been pressing on me is the words in Christ. It feels like everywhere in Ephesians, those two words come up, and it's, you know, we've been united with Christ, we are in Christ, He chose us in Christ, He loved us in Christ. It's just everywhere in Ephesians. And so I don't know, you know, exactly why God has been sort of bringing those words out or highlighting those words for me these days, but I think it's probably because I forget so often that I'm in Christ, and there's nothing that can separate me from that, and yet, you know, I continually forget it. So these verses in Ephesians have been really, really important to me lately.
So beautiful. As you're talking, Kelly, I'm thinking of it. I think it's 1 John 4:4. But you are from God, little children. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And there's something about the little children that blesses me so much, because I feel, you know, I'm a seasoned follower of Christ, but I, you know, that old Twyla Perry song, I don't know if you remember it, The Warrior is a Child. You know, I feel that way so often, where the giants seem too big at times. And, You know, you are, don't worry, little child. You are from God, little children. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, we need to hear that, don't we?
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, give us a little backstory in your own journey, maybe how you learned to embrace those broken places and invite the Lord to meet you there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a journey. I don't know that I still even do embrace them as much as I could and open them as much as I could to what God can do there. But I guess I would say, I mean, I've always been an anxious person, more so on the inside, I would say, than the outside. Like, I don't think most people would say, oh, yeah, she's an anxious person. I think I carry it very much inside. And I always thought it was just how everybody was. And it turns out that's not totally true. There are people who don't live with as much anxiety as I have, and then there's people who live with more. But I think I tell this story in the book, but I think the point at which I just sort of, I don't know, it just sunk in and I realized, oh, this is part of, you know, what God wants to heal or be part of in me. And that was flying. I have a fear of flying. And I don't know, have all these accoutrements and various things that I use, headphones and books and movies and, you know, you name it, a pill that I take to help with anxiety when I fly. And I just kind of was sitting on one particular flight. There's a guy next to me who had nothing with him. And I hear I had all of the things that were going to, you know, in my view, keep me busy. But really, ultimately, they reveal just kind of this lack of trust or this thing I was doing to cope with the fear that I have. And it turned me inward, and then it turned me toward God to try to understand what do I do with this anxiety, and is it okay as a believer to have it? And if that's okay, then, you know, what's God's role in it? So that's kind of what started my thinking about it, I guess, even though it'd been, you know, many, many years by that point that I'd struggled with it.
I'm so grateful that you shared that, and you even said fear has also been a companion. And I don't know if folks know that you've been to law school. I mean, you're an accomplished, educated person. And I so appreciate just your humble honesty to say, still, I struggle. Still, you know, maybe I can carry it a certain way, but there are times when chaos is kind of going on the inside. I love the idea of looking, though, at our coping mechanisms, because we prop ourselves up. You see this in the book. We really do need to look at our default mechanisms. And I think we go so long, Kelly, going, oh, I found something that works. I use this, 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 and this. But then at times we're at the mercy of those things, and we're really not free. We're just propping ourselves up. So how does a person maybe identify what they're using to cope, which in some ways is postponing their freedom?
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. I guess, I mean, what I would say is that anytime a person, so anytime you are feeling, anytime I am feeling a just kind of off, a need, fear, anything like that, there are things that we do to try to cover it up, to try to make ourselves feel better. So there are different things people do, but a lot of people do the same things. I mean, it's the reasons we turn to consumerism. So maybe it's online shopping, or sometimes it's pornography, or sometimes it's something small like biting your nails or picking at your lips, or, you know, there's just these funny things we do with our bodies in order to try to kind of make ourselves feel better. It's like the salve that we're looking for to calm our insides. And we do that by using our bodies. So that's one of the things in the book that I really talk about is, how do you notice how you cope? Look at the things that you're doing with your body to try to soothe yourself, so to speak. And there you often will find coping mechanisms. And that's not to say that all of that is bad. It's more to say, why am I doing this? Why am I overeating? Why am I overspending? Why am I, you know, withdrawing from my family at this particular moment? If you can be attuned to those moments, even if you don't know what exactly is going on, you can start to peel away the onion and see maybe what's underneath.
Wow, appreciate that. You say in the book, I love this, Jesus didn't come for the spiritually elite. Instead, he took great care to seek out the broken in body and mind. He longed for those who had no honor, the ones who were shamed because of their social position or physical condition. He met at night with the afraid. He had eyes to see and words to share with the anxiety-ridden. He came for me and you. Before we go to break, say just a bit about how Jesus, as you started to maybe look at coping mechanisms, and then you looked a little bit deeper into the broken places and dared to invite Jesus there, you know, you met the Jesus who saves, the Jesus who does meet at night those who are afraid. How did his life and his presence and the reality of who he is come to life for you?
You know, there's the, and I think you may have referenced it, but there's passages in Scripture that talk about Jesus bringing life, or Jesus bringing, or being the living water. There's these images and these metaphors that, you know, I always sort of said, yes, I want that, you know, or yes, that sounds amazing. And I would have even said, yes, that is who Jesus is in my life. But I guess I would share, you know, very openly that it wasn't until I invited Jesus into my anxiety and my fear and shame too. I mean, to be, you know, totally transparent, and brokenness, that I was like, oh, I get it, because it is like finally being able to breathe, finally being able to drink when you're thirsty, when you get through kind of the barriers that we all put up to Jesus coming into those places. So it's still a metaphor, but it's like, I finally got it.
Love that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, let's talk about the woman at the issue of blood. You wrote about her. Just what can we learn from her story? I mean, imagine her condition. Imagine spending money on doctors only to get worse. What did that do to her level of trust in anybody? And the kind of courage and grit it took for her, with all the social stigma, with the, really the expectation that when people were coming by her, she was supposed to shout unclean and to live isolated. Somehow she dared to press through the crowd to lay hold of Jesus. What can we learn from that woman? I would love to know. Talking to Kelly Fabian, her book, beautiful title, Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Kelly Fabian. Her book is titled Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. And I asked if you wouldn't mind just texting in, being vulnerable with me. I'm pretty transparent every single day. Would love to know, what are the broken places that are in your life still that maybe you long for freedom, for redemption, for restoration? I'd love for your honesty, and I love these listeners. I promised I'd keep you anonymous. So this dear listener says, he says, I struggle with trusting God. I still plan as if I were in control. And I just got it. I wrote back to him that I trust is something God's been really talking to me about in the last few days. It's just like when you bump into situations, you realize how little you do trust and how much you do plan. So what about that one, Kelly? What do you say to that dear listener?
Oh, first of all, yes, I get it. Mm-hmm. I think we all struggle with that. It's very hard to be human in the sense, it's very hard to live within the sort of very dependent state that we're in, that God has created us in. And, you know, since the beginning of time, we have tried to break out of that, to be gods ourselves so that we could have control. And God keeps saying, no, no, listen, surrender to me, come to me, let me be that, and then you be human. And so I think, you know, we just struggle against that, and it's very natural to do that. So there's no shame in it. It's a very natural thing to do. So I think the more that you sit with God, the more that you invite him into that place of feeling like you need to have control, the more you'll be able to surrender in the midst of it. But it's a long journey. So I guess I would say, you know, don't shame, don't judge, just recognize when it's there. Sort of like, oh, there it is again. God, you know, can you help me with this? I turn it over to you. I'm dependent on you. Just remind yourself. And I think over time, God starts to move you in that direction.
Yeah, you'll find you're a compassionate and kind Savior when you turn to him. I forgot to give the number. So if you want to get in on the drawing, text the word, just the word book, to 877-933-2484. If you want to chime into the conversation, I always love to hear from you. Send that in a separate text, 877-933-2484. 2484. I once heard, Kelly, that in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. I once heard a Bible teacher say, he said that poor in spirit actually means blessed are those who know their need. And the more I thought, you know, blessed are those who know their need, for theirs is the kingdom. We come into such a place of shame when we come to the edges of our humanity, whether it's by fear, anxiety, selfishness, greed, laziness, whatever. We come to the edge of ourselves and we turn back and go, see, I, you know, and we buy into all of the condemnation. But if we really took that to mean what it says, blessed are those who come to the edges of themselves, for theirs is the kingdom. It means there's more of the kingdom to inherit. When you finally come to the edge of yourself, you know there's more of Christ. I mean, that has given me such a fresh perspective of God never expects me to be more than I am, but he's more than I can imagine, right?
Great way of saying it. Yeah, I mean, God created us, so he knows how limited we are. We're the only ones that don't need to know it, you know? So we sort of kind of keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and then we get to a place where we realize, wow, this is really beyond what I'm capable of, and God is sort of going, yeah, I know, come, you know, come with me.
Love that. Wonder if you'd pray for this dear one. I want to wrap my arms around her. Oh, my goodness. She says, fear and anxiety are those broken places for her. She said, it has been so bad for such a long time that I'm not even living my life. I'm going through the motions only. Every aspect of my life is affected by it. I'm a severe emotional eater. It's my coping method, and that's causing my me problems because I'm a type 2 diabetic. I cannot seem to break through. What do you say? I'm going to have you pray for her in a moment, but anything you want to say?
I mean, the first thing I want to say, and it just came to me, so I'm praying that this is something God gave me, is connect to the earth. There's something very anxiety and fear lift us off of the ground in the sense we become ungrounded. We spin and we, you know, I know worry that sort of spins you out. Like you can think of the worst case scenario in every situation and you can fear that. And it's not something you're deciding to do. So you need something to ground yourself. And, you know, counseling and those things are really good. So I just recommend that too. But like when I get that way, the only thing that begins to help me stay grounded, be grounded in my creatureliness, so to speak, in which I then know that God is God, is to walk on the earth, to touch the trees, to, you know, lay in the grass or dig in the dirt or put your hands on something that, you know, because it's solid. The earth is solid. God made it. And we, in a sense, belong to it. And we can connect with God in that way. And this isn't like a weird, you know, God is in nature sort of thing. No, God made it and is above it and beyond it. And when we connect to the ground, we start to feel like, oh, God loves us and loves, you know, creation in ways that we can't even imagine. And it starts to, and, you know, I don't know the psychology behind this, but it really does start to ground you in reality, gets you out of fear and gets you out of anxiety, and open space, this is the best part, for God to enter, because normally we're closing it off. We're spiraling so much that we're closing the door to God's presence. And so when we start to ground ourselves again and open ourselves again and breathe again, that opens the door for God to enter.
Amen. Before I have you pray for her, I was just thinking as you're talking, Kelly, you know, we do cover, we have brain scientists on the show and counselors. And one thing I've learned as far as this dear one, dealing with fear and anxiety and feeling stuck, what you're saying is so critical about getting out, walking, touching the dirt, planting some seeds, doing something that's tangible and concrete, because they say you really do need to do something different. T-bone the fear and anxiety by really literally getting up and doing something different, because it actually interrupts the neural pathway in your brain. So to not only just do something different, but to do something really in the name of, I'm connecting the God who put the heavens and earth in place, who told the water where to stop and the land to begin. I'm touching this ground. I'm a masterpiece. You know, he created me. There's something super powerful about interrupting the flow. And dear one listening, I challenge you every day to get up and T-bone that thing. Do something different. Start walking, praying, and believing. And then just keep taking the next step. And I would say in due time, you'll start to do something different. And dear Kelly, I wonder if you'd pray for her.
Absolutely. Oh, Father, we raise up this daughter of yours. We hold her in your light and your love. And God, we pray right now that you would intervene in her thoughts, that she probably has these invasive thoughts that come in, the fear and the shame and the anxiety. And God, we just pray that you interrupt them, that you give her the energy, the motivation she needs just to step outside, wherever she is, that she could just step out and connect again to what's grounded, to what's real. And in that way, God, open herself to you. God, I pray against any shame that comes or any kind of disbelief. Maybe she has feelings when she has this fear and anxiety that she's not praying enough or she's not faithful enough. But God, I just ask that you remove those thoughts and enter into her presence, into her heart, so that she knows that she's deeply loved, that this is a function of, you know, the broken world, and give her the tools and the community she needs, God, to be surrounded by those who can help her remain grounded in who you are and how much you love her, and be able to walk through it with you. God, we just pray that you would be near to her right now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just jump in as Kelly's praying. I'm reminded of the verse that without a vision, we cast off all restraint. We don't see any point in saying no to lesser things because we don't have a big yes. And I pray for her that she would get a vision of what a healthy, healed her looks like. In fact, I pray for every person listening today. I pray you'd get a vision for what the Lord has for you, and that you'd have such a ravishing view of who Jesus is and a vision for what he has for you, that you would say no to lesser things and yes to the right things. I pray healing in the hearts and souls of every single person listening today. Lord, we thank you. As Kelly says, you don't barge into our brokenness, but you want us to invite you there. So we invite you, come into these places and bring some healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Kelly. We just got about a minute and a half before our break at the bottom, but this dear listener says, I struggle with breaking the lies the enemy holds over me, lies like I'm not worthy of the kingdom, or really loved, or really chosen. What advice do you have for that, dear one?
So that one, I mean, to me, that you need scripture. I have that too, you know, where just these words are, and sometimes I just think, you know, where is this coming from? Where do I get these things? And it is. It's from the evil one. It's also from our own, you know, brokenness. But I mentioned earlier that I'm reading through Ephesians, and I'm actually trying to memorize it, which seems incredibly daunting. And I'm saying it not to receive any praise because I haven't done it yet, but just to say, oh, you know, I've just been thinking, I need scripture in me. I need to continuously be able to fight off those kinds of words that come, those kinds of invasive thoughts, with scripture. To me, that's the only hope we really have, prayer
indeed,
and scripture in those moments, because we don't ourselves have the strength to fight that off. You know, as Paul says, we're fighting against, you know, these spiritual realm. And so what is going to fight against that? Not us dependent creatures, but rather God's word. And so I would say, you know, if there's some scripture that speaks to you, that brings you out of it, maybe memorize that and commit that to yourself.
Got to jump. So sorry, hard break here, but we will be back with Kelly Fabian. Great advice. Back in a minute. Prince of Peace has come, and it is possible to have peace at all times and all situations. It's not an easy road. Boy, life on earth is hard. Eternity is long, and Jesus is with us. So somehow, some way, as we navigate life on earth, God does bring us into places of healing and redemption and restoration. And as my friend once said, then life has a way of lifing you. You know, life wounds us. Jesus heals us, and it's the ebb and flow of this journey until he returns again. And we don't give up on it, right? We continue to contend for healing, and we need each other. We need community so we can help each other heal. I'm Susie Larson talking to Kelly Fabian, who's written a beautiful book, Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. You get several copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933 2484, but in a separate text, I'm just asking for you to engage, to be honest and real. I'm pretty raw on this show every day. I'm asking you to be real now. What are those broken places in your life, in your story, that Jesus you've either walled off or you just haven't experienced his healing yet? We'd love to talk with you and pray with you about it. We're keeping all of these anonymous today. And Kelly, I told you we're going to get to the woman with the issue of blood, and we'll do that in a minute. But a number of texts have come in where people really would love some advice and some help. And this dear listener said, this conversation is touching the core of our hearts over here. Our daughter has been at the clinic all day today with anxiety and panic attacks. It's been a hard road. Her struggle's medically based. She's in the fear of dying. As a mama who loves her deeply, what advice would you give me as I walk beside her during this very real swallowing her whole time? It's a fear that's just sort of swallowing her whole. She's a mama of three kids. What do you say, Kelly?
Well, I just want to say first, I'm so sorry. That's a terrifying place to be. My daughter has had some anxiety like that that seems to swallow her, and it has to do with the fear of dying, and I myself had that long ago. So it's almost like I can feel it as you're talking about it. I mean, advice is so hard to give in this situation. I'll be praying for you. I guess I would say just draw near to her, and if you can't, it sounds so silly. I don't know. I hope this is from the Lord, but can you let her feel your breath, like your breathing, you know, when you hold a child, and I don't know how old your daughter is, but up against your chest, even when they're grown, you know, and you breathe those slow, long, deep breaths. There's something very both meaningful and comforting about that, to feel someone else and to remember that you're alive and God is sustaining you. And every heartbeat you have and every breath that you take, God is sustaining that. I struggle with exactly, you know, what to say in a situation like that other than be close, remind her of who God is and that he sustains her and he loves her. And the fear is a liar.
Yeah.
Fear is just... it lies to us and makes us think things that just simply aren't true. It makes us think that death is the end. And I don't, you know, depending on how old your daughter is, depends on how you'd want to say something like that, but death is not the end. And of course we don't look forward to it, but because of Jesus, we have this eternal perspective. We can have an eternal look at life and say, it's going to go on. And so fear is really lying to us when it says death is the worst thing that you can experience and it's going to be, you know, the end for you. No, God is standing there waiting for us and loving us and in the midst of it all. And so, my heart just breaks for you in the midst of this. And I just want to extend my faith to you if you can't quite muster the faith now or if your daughter can't. And, you know, there's a body of believers that can hold you up in God's presence, and we will do that.
You know, Kelly, wow. The breath thing is just stunning and beautiful. If this mama can get, and it's her adult child who has children, but to sit with her, I mean, there is something so powerful because when your heart is racing and you're leaning against somebody whose heart is slow and calm and you feel their breath, what a beautiful picture and what a tangible way to help someone. That is amazing, Kelly. Thank you for that. This dear one says, I love you, Susie, and the people you interview, their hearts and yours for the Lord and their desires and yours to see Christians unite and flourish. It's so evident and encouraging. Thank you for that. She says, I struggle with trusting the Lord, that the Lord will keep my kids safe in vehicles with my husband or parents. But I always have a background worry that something will happen when I'm not with them and that he would take them home and leave me here to mourn them. And to have to try to trust him on that level, it makes me feel fearful. Nothing has happened. I trust the Lord, but that's my background fear. Thank you, first of all, for being so honest. And Kelly, what do you want to say there?
I get that. My daughter left to go back to college today. And what did I think the whole way she was driving? Oh, Lord, protect her, keep her safe. I mean, there's nothing more precious to us than our children. And so those are, you know, real fears that we have that we would lose them. And I probably use my coping mechanisms. I think today, you know, I was sort of pacing and wanted to do things to keep my mind off of it until I heard that she was safe. So again, those aren't always bad. Maybe, you know, praying or reading scripture or grounding yourself or being in community, reminding yourself. Here's what I would say. What I just said to the last person about that eternal perspective, that's what we have to continue to think about. You know, keep your mind on things above, because it's if we start to get stuck in the things below, you know, the things of the flesh, the things of the earth that are not of God, I guess I would say, or they're just kind of mundane, we forget this eternal perspective, and we forget that God loves us more than we can imagine, and God loves that child, the one that you're afraid of leaving you, loves her or him so much more than you do, which is just crazy. And so just keep praying and don't shame yourself. I don't trust enough. Just keep, you know, keep at it. This is a lifelong journey. Our kids are so precious to us. To let them go and let them grow up is the hardest thing. And we can resonate in a sense of God, you know, the Father letting Jesus come to earth. He kind of knows all things. So is there something similar in there? Probably a little bit of a heart-wrenching piece in there of missing him. So there's something about the way God knows what we're going through and loves us that we can resonate with, I think.
Mm. You know, as again, someone who's battled fear around the health thing, just with some pretty significant chronic health issues. I remember a few years ago with symptoms that were terrifying me and fear was just winning the day. And I remember so clearly where the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, Susie, the enemy, you're taking the bait. The enemy is trying to project your fears into a future that I'm not in. But for you as my child, there's no scenario where that exists. But where it's almost like, well, if he allowed this, how much worse is he going to allow? And when we start to project fears into a future that's absent of God, it's terrifying. But it's not a reality for us as God's people. And so, dear one listening, I'm just going to throw this out there. Just this morning, depending on if you're on Instagram or Facebook, I did a live session, just a short one on trust and what to do when you're afraid. And it might help you. It's just about 20 minutes long, just saying that. So, and this dear listener, the one you talked about, to wrap her arms around her grown daughter, she said, this I can do. I was going to crawl in bed with her and lay by her, and now I know that is what God is saying. So thank you. This is so helpful, Kelly, because I love our listeners, and I love that they're being so honest here. This one, he says, Susie and guests, for me, it's health issues that separate me from partaking in everyday life. Knowing that you and your husband have gone through, mentioned in the other day, not often, but are times I feel forsaken. In one of those moments, I came across this picture and it greatly encouraged me. It's okay to weep. Even Jesus wept. And I think, it's just a picture with a meme on it. But, you know, the health issue thing does take a toll, doesn't it? I mean, it really, you can't get away from yourself when you're struggling. Mm-hmm. And that is a time to really reckon with the presence of God, even when he feels silent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the health, I mean, we all at one point or another struggle with that. And I think, you know, in our current day, there's, you know, the physical health stuff that humans have always dealt with in, you know, different ways. And there's also such a rise in mental health problems because of the environments we live in. And, you know, who knows exactly why they're all so ever present right now. A pandemic may be part of it. But I think this is... this could be one of those reckonings, you know, with the fact that we're human. So, you know, there's times we go through in our lives where we feel indestructible, where we feel like we can do anything and that we're very independent of God. And when things are going well, we often feel that way. And God gives us that ability. You know, he gives us this choice. He gives us strength and gifts and abilities and all these things that we then, you know, turn into ways that we can move away from him in some ways. Mm-hmm. When there's sickness, when there's bodily sickness and mental sickness and emotional sickness and all the things that get at us, there's a reckoning with ourselves there. And my suggestion is allow it to be both a reckoning with yourself and with the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who knows you, the God who's walking with you. You're not alone in it. And if there's a way, no one can bring the comfort you need in those moments of just feeling like you're broken and you're dying other than God himself. And so if there's a way to just in those moments, instead of fighting against them, and I don't mean against, you know, cancer or something, but sort of that own, your own internal stuff that starts to kind of reel and move in there, say, God, yes, come, please come into this with me. Here I am. You know, there's all these sort of phrases that I tend to use. Here I am. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, these are words from Scripture, and I'm, you know, sort of applying them liberally. But, like, those are the invitational words that I use to invite Jesus into those places where it just feels like he's not there.
Very, very good. This dear listener says, the fear that I have is that Jesus' miracles have been all used up. I don't get one. I've been doing well, praise God, but the doctor's horrible negative statements declared over me ring in my ears. She's got like two or three terminal diagnoses. The fear that the worst is to come. It's awful. Praying for complete healing and the enemy to be silenced. She says, I text a lot. I pray I'm not becoming an annoyance. Are you kidding me? We love you. We're with you. Would you pray for this dear one, not only for healing, but for continued just peace, that the enemy's voice would be silenced in her ear, because he's had a heyday with her, as he would with anybody in her situation.
Absolutely. Oh, Father in heaven and Father who is close, yes. Spirit Jesus, Lord, we hold this woman up to you. So many things in her life, so many health issues. God, we pray for complete healing, that you would intervene, that your spirit would come upon her and intervene and remove the sickness, the illness, the whatever the symptoms are, whatever the underlying causes. God, please remove those from her in the name of Jesus. And God, we also pray that you would be near to her, that you would be closer than the air she breathes right now, that she would be so aware of your presence that she'd almost forget that these words are being spoken to her, and she'd allow them to be released, that you would remove them from her mind, the words that say that the worst is yet to come. God, there's nothing that can separate us from you. Nothing in the world. No sickness, no doctor's words, no evil. You know, those Satan's words can't do that either. And so, Lord, we pray for your intervention right now for complete healing, for complete peace, and for complete silence of these voices that she's hearing. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. And friend, I want you to start declaring every time those words ring in your ear, you say, no, you're a liar, enemy. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, because it is. For the believer, life on earth is as bad as it gets. Best is yet to come. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you know, this show today has taken a totally different turn than I expected. I haven't even touched my notes yet, but this is good. We want to be here for you. And this dear listener, we love him. Luke says, for the woman with fear, write out all the verses on fear. Read them and remind the enemy who is your Lord. He said, it helped me a lot. Thank you. I'm calling Luke out because he's offering advice, and he's always good for that. Thank you, Luke, for that. And when we come back, we'll address one that says, having a hard time with forgiveness. There's something that happened with some family members that devastated the family, but she doesn't want her prayers to be ignored by God. Not sure what to do. She feels stuck. We'll tackle that one and talk more with Kelly Fabian in just a moment. Her book, Holy Vulnerability, Where Are You Broken? Where do you still need Jesus to move in and heal? Would you text me and let me know? 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Song so often, you know, we wall off those hurt places, and we wall them off from God too. And if you're honest, sometimes you feel hurt that God hasn't intervened yet. But what if you brought the walls down? What if you invited him into those broken places, leaned in and asked God, can I experience you here? Can I encounter you here? God loves prayers like that and wants to meet you in that place. That's what my guest today says. Kelly Fabian's my guest, and her book is titled Holy Vulnerability, Spiritual Practices for the Broken, Ashamed, Anxious, and Afraid. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to get you back Kelly, because we haven't even touched my notes yet, and there's so much in your book, but I really want to be sensitive. You and I prayed before the show that we'd be sensitive to what God is doing. And I think what he's doing here is ministering to some really real needs in of our listeners, if you don't mind. And
it's a privilege.
Yeah, I feel the same. So text in if there's these broken places in you that we can stand with you. Maybe Kelly can offer some advice and we can pray. We'd love to do that. This listener says, having a hard time with forgiveness. It's from, there's a little typo in the text, something about being afraid between two family members, an issue that's devastated the family. But she says, I don't want my prayers to be ignored by God. What do you say there?
Oftentimes I feel like we try to take on the job that other people have, you know, to forgive one another or to resolve conflicts. Mm. But I know that, you know, I've been in circumstances where there's some conflict, and what I want to do is, you know, enter into it and say, okay, well, you do this and you do that, and then we're going to all be, you know, kind of on a journey toward reconciliation. And what I've learned is just how much In the realm of forgiveness and conflict and reconciliation, God has to move in individual hearts. And there are conflicts that last a long time. And you don't see this, I guess, in scripture where it just feels like Jesus says, okay, if someone wrongs you, go to them, you know, and seek, and you want to kind of bring about reconciliation. And it seems so simple in scripture. And we get into it and it doesn't seem simple. And it can take years. And I've just begun to attribute that to this notion that every person's heart has to be worked on in a different way. And I guess when it comes to forgiveness, what I have done, what I have heard, you know, from mentors and others is just to pray first, okay, give me the heart to want to reconcile. Give me the desire to forgive. So if you're feeling like you want to forgive, or maybe, you know, so often we feel like we don't want to forgive, but we know we have to, it's a command. So start with, God, would you help me to have the desire to forgive? And once you have that desire, God, help me to actually forgive. God, help me to take a step toward forgiveness. So there's, again, you know, I don't want to remove the significance and importance of actually forgiving. I believe that that is absolutely necessary, and God calls us to it, and we can do it. And I also want to recognize that there are some really bad and hurtful things that happen that people do to us and that people do to others. And so to be on a journey toward forgiveness, if we are truly seeking the desire to forgive, truly seeking the ability to forgive, that God honors that and meets us in that. I don't know what your situation is exactly, but I would say if you're lacking the desire to forgive, which we all do, don't feel shame around that, pray first that God would give that to you. God, give me the desire. And it might just be a prayer you pray every day. If you feel like you want to, but something's stopping you, then God, give me the ability. Give me the ability. In the midst of that, I believe that God will start to move.
Amen. Thank you for that. This dear listener says, I've struggled with feelings of abandonment from God. However, the other day, Susie said something that took hold of me. She stated that God is my father. No father wants any harm or any bad things to happen to his child. Since I did not have a father growing up, it made me bawl. I finally felt like I had a father that would take care of me. I'm going through a lot of stuff right now financially, and I'm just trusting he's going to be my father and take me through this. So what have you learned, Kelly, about the nature of your Heavenly Father, especially as you've seen him heal you layer by layer?
Mm-hmm. God's goodness is, you know, without end. So there's a point at which any person I know, their goodness will end because they'll come to the end of themselves. They'll come to the end of their patience. They'll have their own stuff going on. They'll have their own things to worry about. And yet God's goodness is without end. And so anything I bring before him, I know that what he's seeking for me is the best, is the ultimate good for me. And I can rely on that, and I see it all throughout Scripture. The only reason that God sent Jesus, that Jesus came and did what he did, was because of God's goodness. And it's without end. It's without barriers. It just goes on and on. You know, in Scripture, there's those Psalms that say that this goodness goes on forever, you know, that his love endures forever. And that's how I've thought about it, is that, you know, whatever is happening to me, there's sin in the world, so there are bad things that will happen. And yet the goodness of God covers it and more. Covers
Amen.
It and more.
So good. This one says, I believe the enemy keeps telling my son he's no good and not smart and has no purpose or value. He's a kind man, very thoughtful of his family and friends, but he cannot seem to shake the negative self-talk. Kelly, I cannot tell you how many people have written in at times over the years and have, you know, and they'll either be saying this about themselves and yet you can tell that they have so much to offer, or about a loved one where that what they believe something about themselves and you look at them and go, there's no evidence to support this condemning report that you're believing. What can a mom do for a son? I mean, for one thing, I'm a praying, wild praying woman, so I would go to town in my private prayer, you know, I mean, really throw some, lob some grenades into enemy camp and say, not today, buddy. But what can else she do for her son who's believing lies about himself?
I guess I would want to know a little bit more about the kind of men and mentors that he has around him. I think a lot of times moms in particular can take on the whole brunt or the whole weight of the self-worth of a child. You know, we feel very responsible for that. And I think one of the best things you can do for your kids is go ahead and allow others to love them as much as you do, or, you know, just about as much, and build into them. So it sounds like he could use maybe a mentor who speaks life and goodness into him. And this is not to say that the mom has failed in any way, but sometimes our kids hear things differently from others, other adults. Maybe it's men instead of women, maybe it's women instead of men, maybe it's peers that really will speak life and goodness into him and in that way allow him to better understand his worth and come to grips with the fact that, you know, these other things he's hearing from his own heart, from the evil one, are just lies.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I had Chip Ingram on, I've had him on a bunch of times, but he wrote the book, Something About You, what is it? Something About Being Your True Self. But he offers these really practical exercises where you write the lie on one side of a card, you write the truth on the other. Oh my goodness. I'll look for that link and see if I can put it in the text here for you, because it's absolutely powerful. And I just think there's something about the practicality, and you mentioned this earlier, of knowing the word and speaking the word into those situations that so that you're, you know, putting the truth in where there's a lie. So I appreciate that so much. Man, we're almost out of time, but what would you say to the person, Kelly, who feel, Discovering Your True Self by Chip Ingram. There it is. Thank you, dear producer. So search myfaithradio.com for that, and you will find it was a powerful show. Thank you for that. What would you say to that person listening today who feels that God is silent? They know they're saved, but it's been a while since they've heard from him.
I would say that sometimes that happens. And if you read the stories of, you know, our predecessors in faith, that they, many, many, many of them, maybe all of them, experienced a time in their life when God felt silent. And my advice has been, and when I have those periods of time, I return to God's word. I do it in a very disciplined way. And I just wait on God, and it's painful and it's hard. And I guess the best thing the thing that has helped me the most is to know that everyone who has had faith at times has had moments where God is silent. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything one way or the other about you, but it could mean that you're on the brink of a closer and deeper relationship with God. So continue to be in, you know, in those disciplines of scripture and prayer. And this is where those words, wait on the Lord, have a lot of meaning.
Wow. Thank you for that, Kelly. This has been so good. And if it works out, I'd love to bring you back, because like I said, I've got a handful of pages and notes that we never got to, but I'm so grateful that we responded to what God wanted us to do today.
Bless you for your time.
Would you come back? We would love it.
I would love that. Thank you so much. What a privilege it was to pray and to just be with people.
Oh, I loved it too. Kelly Fabian, everyone, and her book is titled Holy Vulnerability. Hey, we're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Remember, Jesus is near. He loves you. He's with you. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.